Hi everyone, my name is Megan Zalaricki and this is Brace for Impact. Puerto Lopez, Ecuador, February 2019. I awoke from a deep sleep to realize the walls were shaking. Most people would panic, leap under a desk, or pray or beg their deity of choice to be spared. What did I do? Nothing. I just lay there in the hostel bed, paralyzed. I looked at my roommate Amanda and she too was doing nothing. In fact, neither of us said a word. Mornings were meant to be a sacred time of silence, but surely this is an exception. Or perhaps words failed us because we were preoccupied with the idea that we'd traveled halfway across the world only to be taken out by an earthquake in less than a week. The shaking eventually stopped. No windows were broken and our loft was still intact. We both got up and went about our routine, making our way to the cabana for the 6 a.m. asana. We were surprisingly zen in the wake of aftershocks. But then again, shaking things up was why we were here. At home on Vancouver Island, it had been about staying the course, laying foundations, and developing a master plan. Everyone felt entitled to offer unsolicited advice about what that should look like. Even worse, there was an unsettling consensus when it came to key benchmarks. I would earn a 100K salary doing something respectable. Dentistry, law, human resources. Marry my husband at a destination wedding. Buy a 3-bedroom house with a spacious backyard, birth and raise children, yes, plural, and get on with being happy. So when my grandma passed away and left me some money, you can only imagine the reaction when I said I was going to Ecuador to become a yoga teacher. I've been practicing yoga for a few years, but had only taken it seriously in the last 6 months, a period of time that coincided with having my heart broken, dropping out of university, and losing my sense of purpose. I had a hard time getting out of bed until I found salvation at my local Moto hot yoga studio. Every time I stepped onto the mat, I released years of self-doubt and unworthiness that only sweat could dissolve. So it was with that weeks after my 20th birthday, I would board a 747 from Vancouver to Houston, to Panama City, and then a tiny plane to Guayaquil, Ecuador. There I would catch a bus to Puerto Lopez, a tiny fishing village rumored to have lively townsfolk, ocean beaches, and pelicans that could eat you whole. The month-long yoga teacher training there would be the beginning of a whole new me, provided I could make it out of the airport. My parents weren't completely on board with how I was spending my inheritance, but when my mom dropped me off at the ferry terminal, she gave me a tight embrace and said, "I'm glad you're doing something for yourself. I love you." My dad picked me up from Horseshoe Bay and drove me to YVR. We parted ways at security, where he said what every dad would say, "Watch your back." He gave me a long hug, and I knew he was proud. Just like that, I was on my own. I managed to find my gate without crying, survived U.S. customs without yelling, "I'm just a little girl," at the officer peppering me with questions, and placed my fate in the hands of United Airlines. Then I met Tammy. I was wandering around the Panama airport, jet-lagged and uncertain as to the whereabouts of my luggage. It was my first time flying, but I knew airlines lost baggage, leaving passengers with nothing but a single pair of underwear for a week. I was going to a very humid climate. This wasn't an option. I've always been a keep my head down, please don't talk to me type in a crowd of strangers and in crises. This was both, but my Lululemon hat and yoga mat made me an easy target for anyone traveling for the same certification. When Tammy approached me, I suddenly forgot my default defenses and instead felt relieved. She reminded me of my mom with her big smile and soft hands as she grabbed mine to introduce herself. So, I let my guard down and struck up a conversation that went something like this. Tammy said, "Where are you staying once you get into Guayaquil? The buses don't pick us up until the morning." I said, "Oh, I'm just going to sleep at the airport." Tammy said, "You can't do that. You'll get kidnapped. You're staying with me. My hotel room has a couch." Tammy was a married woman in her early 50s who lived in Vancouver and taught piano lessons. She fed me soup, crackers, and tea and told me she wanted to be a yoga teacher to fill her extra time with something meaningful. She reminded me that my luggage was safe and sound, and so was I. That night, I had one of the best sleeps of my life. The 4-hour bus trip from Guayaquil to Puerto Lopez began in the bustling city where drivers opted to blare horns rather than acknowledging traffic signals, then left the hustle behind for vibrant fields of green corn stalks and loamy earth. As we wound through small towns with vendors selling fresh papaya from the street stalls, I stared at the window, taking it all in as a blissful tourist, until we were pulled over. Our driver yelled at us in Spanish to fasten our seatbelts, and although I'm a type A stressor, all I could do was laugh as 20 adults, not so subtly, darted for straps tucked under seat cushions. However, the heated discussion between law and driver did not seem to be about vehicle safety. Eventually, he paid up, and we were permitted to pass. Blackmail? I didn't want to know. 2 hours later, sweaty but brimming with anticipation, I stepped in the Hosteria Oceanic Yoga Center's beach cabana, an indoor-outdoor room with sky-high ceilings. Large open windows with flowing curtains provided a full view of the beach only 100 meters to the shore. A warm breeze wafted through the bamboo leaves and drew me to the water. Barefoot on silky sand, paradise found. And to think I almost trained in Kelowna instead. Before heading to our booked accommodations off-site, we gathered for an opening Sangha circle in the cabana. We all sat cross-legged and held hands. Don't judge us. Moto Yoga co-founder Ted Grand opened by explaining Moto's 6 pillars. Be healthy, be accessible, be green, be community, live to learn, and be peace. Then it was our turn to explain our purpose. What said remains in the circle, where there's no room for judgment. Many of the 50 participants were American, and confirmed some of the stereotypes while defying others. I learned people from New York are a bit more vocal than Canadians. I did sense a connection with one woman, though, and approached her after the circle. I learned Amanda had a master's degree in human geography and was not only staying at the same hostel, but was my roommate. "I'm really glad I'm with you," she said. "Those New Yorkers were something else." "You're telling me." Amanda was confident, sure of herself. I felt it rub off on me the moment we spoke. I had an itching feeling we were meant to meet. We laughed and chatted the whole 5-minute walk to our accommodation. She was from Montreal and had a contagious accent that I found myself trying to imitate. We laughed even harder about that. My alarm went off at 5 a.m. I dragged myself to the sink, splashed water in my face, and threw on a tank top and leggings for my first class. Since mornings were silent, I left without Amanda, but was met with other silent trainees along the way. We were all half awake in a foreign town at 6 o'clock in the morning. Stray dogs growled at our heels and followed us through cobbled streets. What part of this was a retreat again? Obviously, the training consisted of a lot of yoga, but also lectures, which involved a lot of sitting on the floor. I brought a cushion from home, but my back still ached, my legs went numb, and I had to keep getting up so I wouldn't fall asleep. Luckily, one of the first lessons was how to heal the body through movement and breath, and how to mindfully eat a piece of chocolate. Yes, you heard that right. I was finally getting an education I valued. After the morning's class, we'd have fresh fruit, golden mango that melted on my tongue, as well as porridge with every topping imaginable and flaky croissants. For lunch or dinner, we'd have delicious lentil stew with fluffy rice, plantain chips, and creamy cheese. I hadn't felt so nourished in a long time. On our few days off, we'd venture into the nearby towns by taxi. Driving laws in Ecuador are simply suggestions. I didn't know much Spanish, but I quickly learned Santa Mierde as we drove like there was someone about to give birth in the back seat. ¿Estás bien? The driver asked at the end of the ride. ¿Sí? I lied. As the weeks progressed, we took turns leading Moto classes, following a sequence of 40 standing and floor poses that we learned to key with body language, key phrases, and transitions. When it was my turn to teach a class, I found a voice I'd never heard before. It was powerful, yet soft. Suddenly, I was gliding around the room with grace. I could feel the room breathe as I cued, "Feel your belly rise and fall with each long inhale and each soft exhale." I heard my fellow yogis' toes gripping the mat as I told them to imagine their feet were rooted into the earth. As I laid everyone down into Shavasana, the final pose, I was caught off guard by my own calmness. You are exactly where you need to be. Take one more deep breath. With each asana, I was taking my own advice, listening to an instinctual voice I'd been too hurried to hear until now. I was becoming the woman I'd always wanted to be. Each sunset swim and heartfelt chat with a fellow yogi helped quiet my mind. I began to hear the powerful voice more clearly. I learned not to gauge my worth by how another person felt about me, how my body looked in the mirror, or how I met my family's expectations. As every yoga teacher will tell you, yoga isn't about the perfect downward dog or child's pose. It's about accepting where you are and learning to take an extra breath when things get hard. Of course, every therapist will tell you not to jump on a plane to fix your problems, but for me it felt like the cure. Sure, I still had to confront the deeper origins of these feelings I was learning to let go, and I still had to own my choices and future, but I had skills. I could cope. Plus, I wasn't the only one struggling. I grew more comfortable with tears, my own and others, as well as the tremors that come with facing real and imagined fears. By the end of the month, I'd earned my 300-hour yoga teacher training certificate and felt more balanced than I had in years. my closing Sangha Circle speech alluded to a new skill set that was so much longer than this summary. In 30 days, I've learned what not to do in an earthquake, how to survive a cab ride to Ayampe, and that when life gets stressful, we exhale. On the way home, the airport seemed less daunting, the busyness less likely to swallow me whole. I was glad to be returning to a land where traffic signals were more than a suggestion, to my own bed, and to a master plan that was my own to make. The next time I was shaken or felt myself slipping through the cracks, I would brace for impact and reach for something steady, safe, unwavering. The sound of my own calm voice at the epicenter of a world I was making my own.